Welcome to the activation phase. Tonight we've got two tournament reports, and we're joined by Tim and Hamza.
Hello.
Hello.
All right, so quick agenda for today. Tim is going to have a quick chat about one of the tournaments we attended in Essen a few weeks ago, and then we're going to move on to the tournament I ran in Amersfoort. So, Tim, go.
Right, yeah. It was a cool 24-player tournament in Essen. It was Age of Vikings, and all friends and enemies were allowed, and JP brought his Germanic people, and I brought my Norse Gaels. We had lots of fun, and you can see all about it on the YouTube channel. Just check it out and leave us some feedback.
Yep, and we both did pretty badly, so.
Yes.
Anyway. Okay, so the tournament that we're going to spend a little bit more time on tonight is the Amersfoort Ancient Apocalypse. So I organized this along with a clubmate. Originally, we wanted to make a quick or a small introductory tournament for the local Dutch guys because the, I guess, the Age of Alexander had only been out for a few weeks. And actually, when we organized this, there, I don't think it was out yet. So we kind of took a few risks here, but no big deal. We used the new 2022 FAQ as well, and things spiraled out of control. So it went from a 16-player tournament to a 24-player tournament. And yeah, so we're going to have a little bit of a chat about our experiences there. So just to cover kind of the whole admin side, we played the Rog Rules scenario. So the first one was first contact using the tournament style. That's where essentially you roll to see if it's master points or survival points midway through the game. And then whichever one wasn't selected, you kind of score that one at the end. The second one was King of the Hill. So you've got a hill in the middle, like a smooth open hill in the middle. And you get points for being on top, having a unit on top of the hill, and then also, I believe it's survival points at the end of the match. And then the final one is robbing and ransacking. So that's kind of like the feasting and pillaging, slightly modified. When we selected this, we did not actually know that the battle boards for Age of Alexander would benefit so much from having pretty much open terrain in two of the three scenarios. So I think we're going to get back to that one. So maybe, Hamza, do you want to start us off and let us know what you took and kind of like some why you took it?
Yeah, I took Republican Romans because I was starting to... I thought that they were going to be quick to paint, and well, they were kind of quick to paint, but I still didn't finish the army in time. So I had to borrow some miniatures from Robin. Shout outs to him. And I took 2 points of Hurtguard, 2 points of Warriors, Sam Knights, and 1 point of Levy. Yeah, that was basically what I took and why.
What would you maybe change?
Everything. Not take Romans again ever. That's for starters. No, right. I think I need to change like the composition. I have like too many hurt guards in the army. The army needs like the warriors to start attacks. And then I need to figure something out what to do when like it has a lot of combat power in melee and doesn't use big units. I have to figure something out. So maybe the Sam Knights for the playstyle I have are not maybe the best option. Maybe I need to change those as well. So I think I have to like go back to the drawing board with my army. I felt that it was not performing well in the against the new battle boards at all, actually.
All right. And what about you, Tim? What did you take?
I took what I thought was one of the best things. You know, I like very good things. So I took the Greek successors. So I ended up taking a point of mercenaries. That would be the Thoriki Tai. And I also took 3.5 points of warriors and 1.5 points of Hearthguard. And then the Hearthguard, I usually deployed them with their Sarissas because the Greeks can do that. And then the warriors in the Greek successor option have like five different equipment options they can take. And so I ended up taking a mix of just no equipment, which gains them the Phalanx special rule, and then javelins and also heavy weapons. I think there's lots of good options there to basically tailor your warband to your opponent the moment you see them. So that's pretty good.
Okay, and then I took Gauls. I was actually not expecting to play them, but someone dropped out on the day itself. So they were sick, so I had to step in and play and organize. So I took Gauls. I just trying to remember what I took. I took 1.5 points of Hearthguard, and then the rest just Warriors. So there's no actually, that's not true. There's no. I only took Warriors on foot. I didn't have any Warriors that were mounted. So generally, I only played the Hearthguard as being on chariots. So that's 3 chariot models. And then I took the Warlord on chariot just because it looks cool. So that was basically the as much as I thought about it. And I wasn't actually expecting to play on the day itself. So I hadn't got any practice games in with the Gauls for quite a while. So all in all, interesting time. Let's maybe just quickly talk about our games. Should we start off with round one? So that is First Contact. Hamza, what did you find about First Contact?
Yeah, it was all right. I played Simon, who took Greek Cities Thebes, and it was a close game. I mistakenly gave him the first turn, which meant he could deploy a hill in the middle of the board. And in this scenario, it's you need to be move like basically across the board, otherwise your units will count as eliminated in the last turn. So you have to move across. So I tried to put like terrain on the sides and try to move through that, because I assumed he wasn't gonna go after me in terrain, and he didn't, but I couldn't fit my whole army quick enough, so he attacked me with his big units. And I think so he basically played the Thebans, right? And they have lots of warriors in phalanxes, and he took the Thorokitai. I think every Greek city's army took Thorokitai. because they give them the rerolls on defense, which is very good for the Greeks, because they have a lot of defense to begin with. But even though he was going in with those and getting the rerolls on the attack, he wasn't saving a lot. He was a bit of unlucky. So it was a very close game, because the Romans are really powerful if they're outnumbered, which I was in basically every combat. But what did me in was I made a mistake in the last turn with the game was practically even until the last turn, where I moved up my Samnites to take a shot at his Thorokitai, and then the Thorokitai attacked my Samnites, took them down, and then like ran back in the last turn. And basically, if I followed him, I would have like lost the unit. So it was a win for him, but it was very close. And I was kind of happy with the outcome. He was playing well. He was not making many mistakes. So that was the first game against Simon's Thebans.
And do you remember what units he took?
It's easy. He's my local warriors. Yeah, so just a point of Thorokitai, and then 5 points of warriors split into like 16, and then 14 and 12 or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Right, just fully maximizing the oblique phalanx.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. But he also had the warlord on the tiniest base, so he could like just move around those, so he could like zigzag through those phalanxes.
Yeah, he
as
could.
Well.
Yeah.
That was so. I there was no way for me to like attack his warlord and get the point in that way either.
His warlord his warlord is on a 22mm base, so.
So he's
tough to catch.
Yep. Anyway, right. So that was a loss for me. So yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't sure, quite sure. I got steamrolled by Simon's list like so hard twice already. Like my armies just can't handle it at all. Like I lose big time, and I'm quite impressed with you almost taking the win there. So not bad.
Yeah.
My first game was into Airy. He was one of the Dutch guys, and he played Galls. And that was one of the most fun games I've ever had, because that was the first game I ever did with the army I brought, and I never practiced that, like, composition or whatever. And so I was just figuring out how that works, and he was playing Galls with like 5 points of warriors just running in three big 12-man squads. So that was great fun. He always denied me closing ranks, so everything died in the first like two or three turns, and the only thing slightly saving me was my Thorikitai. When they ended up being charged, they rolled like gods when they closed ranks and rerolled their defense dice, and then my wallet also benefited from that, and he never ended up taking these guys down. Everything else died basically. But in this scenario, you need to move your units away half, like you need to move them across the middle of the table, otherwise they count as being dead in the end, as you guys just said. And he rather enjoyed fighting more and killing more, and so he just kept on charging and didn't bother moving his units into my half. So in the end, it was quite a big victory for me, but I think I could have won small if he moved his stuff across. But yeah, we fought a lot in the beginning. Everything died, and in the end, when kind of the units ended up being depleted, the rerolls really came in clutch and made sure that I didn't end up losing that game, and so I won. Really, really fun. Thank you, Eri, for that game.
All right, since I was organizing, I paired myself to kind of one of the newer players, just to give him kind of. I think it was actually his first Saga game, first or second.
Yeah, I think
Saga
he said
game.
That. Yeah, yeah.
It was mostly just a demo game, and I was just kind of walking him through the basics. There were actually quite a few new players as well, so super nice to see that. And I think actually for two or three of the guys, it was their first ever Saga experience. So they, I don't know, it's pretty impressive that they turned up to a tournament for their first Saga game. I tried to pair them off with people who I knew kind of like would take care of them and would not go easy on them, but would definitely kind of help them out. So the other guy who helped me out was Alberto from Eindhoven. He helped me out kind of helping the other new guy. So thanks a lot for that as well. We're stepping in because my original plan was to get them to play each other the first round and just kind of stand by the sideline and walk them through it. But that didn't work. But there's not a lot of point talking about it. I played my goals into his Romans and got completely crushed. So I guess that's a pretty good game for him. I didn't throw away the game or anything, so
that's fun.
Yes, so it was good start to my tournament. But I can't really remember too much because I was running around doing all the admin, trying to teach the game, trying to fill in the scores at the end of the match as well. So yeah, a lot going on. But it was first good first round, so everything seems to have gone relatively smoothly. There were relatively few questions, given that the new FAQ had, I think, was released about 2 weeks before. I know that you helped me out, Tim, with the people around you, kind of answering questions and kind of helping relieve the load on me a little bit. So thanks a lot.
Welcome.
But I think it went relatively well. No massive showstoppers. So based on that, we went to the second round where we played King of the Hill, which turned out to be a pretty good scenario for Greek cities and Persians, I guess. So Hamza, how did you experience King of the Hill?
You guys are already laughing, so we all know how this is going to go. Well, I, as you guessed it, I played Greek cities again, and there was a hill in the middle. And this time it was Pierre Picat, who is a Belgian player. He's a pretty nice dude, and he played a really cool army of Spartans. And he had, I think, 4 points of Hurtguard and 1 point of Thorikitai, as always. Always take those if you're playing Greeks. And a point of warriors. So Now, against this army, I had serious problems because he was not deploying big units. He was deploying everything in small units. So that meant my combat power was diluted a bit. I couldn't use my I couldn't like generate a lot of attacks, and especially with my hurt guard, I couldn't like send them in. What happened was I developed some kind of plan where I was gonna have terrain on each side, and I was gonna use my Sam Knights on one side to attack his right flank, and use my Velites, my javelin levy, to attack the left. So I was gonna like try to surround him basically. But since the Greek board works the way it does, they can attack like on one side and then move on the other pretty quickly. So what happens was he took out my he did some damage to my Velites and to the Samnites, and then I took out his warriors, but he had still a lead over me, and then there was just like a bunch of Spartans in the middle, and I had basically lost the game in round two. So I tried to attack the Spartans and I couldn't do anything basically. I mean, if you lose a combat against them, you get an extra fatigue. So it was, it was, I felt like I threw the game like early by doing my little shuffle. It didn't work at all. So I basically lost, and then I tried to play around and he played very compact. So there was no getting through there. So that was a big, big loss for me.
That sounds like a lot of fun, man. I'm so happy you got to experience the Greek cities twice, like in a row.
I mean, the first game was even until like the last round. This game was over in turn two.
Yeah, and of course, looking at the King of the Hill scenario, I think that's one of the it's a great scenario. I really enjoy it. I'm also allowing that or taking it for the tournament in Osnabrück in March. But I think for the ancients, that one might be tough.
I think the scenario is fine. I think like I need like the setup I'm playing has a lot of deficiencies, and that's like what's causing the problems. Because if I had used, for example, if I had like broken up my army a little and taken, for example, two nines of levy, I could maybe play the ranged game a bit more, like move up, shoot, and then move back, and force him to attack me. Because
fair enough.
But still, I mean, it's hard. I mean, it's hard to get attacked by the Greeks because of the auto hits they can do. So it's not like whatever. I mean, it's not like they are weak on the attack.
Yeah, and I think it's not that easy at all, because the Greek cities, if you can't play with terrain to stop them using all their amazing abilities, or that also goes for for the Macedonians and for the Greek successors. I think it's hard, and if you can't play the terrain, it's like playing with preset terrain is like the worst thing ever, and this kind of has that aspect. So I'll have to look into it again, I think.
Yeah. Big loss.
Yeah, sounds fun.
Super fun.
I played my second game into Hrothgar. So one of your guys, JP, I think, right? You guys did the whole tournament together, and he played like a normal player and did some Orga stuff, and then we paired. He played his Carthaginians.
What did he have?
Ooh, he had 2 points of Numidian warriors on horses with their javelins, so 2 points of contingent warriors, 1 point of citizen warriors, 2 elephants. So that would make that's 5. And then he had the mercs you just talked about before, not the Torikitai, your ones, the Samnites. Yeah,
used an elephant.
Yeah, he did use 2 elephants. Yeah. Oh, he didn't have the Samnites. Sorry, he had the ones Turiopuroi, I think they can move whenever a different unit moves, right? So they work really well with Carthage. So that was good. The Turikitai, as always, behind my lines, basically made it non-efficient to charge my javelin warriors, even though They usually, it's super nice to charge them because they count as being with ranged, equipped with a ranged weapon, so they can reroll like eight defense dice. And so, yeah, it was, he charged, not really, lots of stuff happened, I think. And then I ended up charging in waves, and since we're trying to fight for that hill, whenever one of his things actually kind of popped and fully died, it spread lots of fatigue, and spread fatigue on elephants usually like goes down not that great. So him playing delay definitely delayed his units being taken apart, and so that took me like 4 or 5 turns. But I think he himself said that he made a big mistake in turn 1 or 2 with his deployment, and so I won that one handily. I think it was great
what
fun.
What was the mistake?
He didn't like his deployment once he had it, because he didn't like his javelin horse warriors to be on either side and 8 and 8. I think he wanted to maybe he wanted to change that and have one side be overloaded instead of me being able to like properly attack back when he goes in from the left, and then he goes in from the right, and then from the left. I survived that quite well, and I think he definitely wanted to change that.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was that. It was fun. I had never played into the Hrothgar before, so that was great. I really enjoyed it, and we had a good game, and I won that one with I think a few points, like more than him. So that scored big for me, which was important for the placings later. And JP, you played another of your demo games, or what did you do in the meantime?
Yeah, so I played against Kevin from Rotterdam, so a British guy living in Rotterdam, and this was his second saga game. So he was playing Thessalonian, that's Greek city states with the.
He was playing Athens.
Athens, yeah,
one Athens. There you go. So what he took was 1.5 points of Hearthguard, 3 points warriors, and 1.5 points of levies, so 9 and 9 split between javelins nice. And slingers, and then the warriors were just taken in 2 big blocks of 12, and then 6 Hearthguard just kind of in the middle of the line. So this was kind of like when I was surprised how quickly the Greeks could move. Like I'd read through the board, but it's kind of like a shock once you see them move up so quickly. And you're like, oh, okay, it's not good. So essentially I split my, I'm trying to remember how I deployed. So I had my chariot, so 3 chariots, warlord on chariot. And then I had, I think, 1 big group of warriors, 12 warriors, and then some smaller groups of warriors. So I moved my group of 12 warriors up, kind of like going to charge the warriors. And then he actually managed to charge me, and then just completely evaporated that unit. I was pretty surprised. So I don't think I closed ranks because I thought I was going to do lots of damage on him and take down because he had fewer dice, saga dice, than I did. So I was like, okay, if we just trade 1 for 1, I'll be doing well because I'll have more saga dice and I can just run circles around him afterwards. However, I think I killed 1 single warrior on his side because he was completely loaded up with all the defense abilities. And then I lost, I think, from the 12, I think I lost 9 warriors. So that did not go well.
Fun. Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, so this is how it's going to go. He was kind of like keeping his levy in the back, just to generate dice. So my original plan of kind of depleting one of his warrior units did not go well. So I went, I shot one of my units through using, the Gaulish, what's the one? Gaulish wave to get the additional move.
Yeah.
And then charge one of his, 9 units of levy, got them down below where they generate dice, and then charged the other one to get them down below where they generate dice as well. So I knocked off 2 dice there, so I was doing okay. But then essentially the rest of the game, I just kind of ran my chariots back and forth through javelins at his warrior units to chip them down, essentially, and just kind of went out of, ran away out of out of reach every single turn. So I did that for about three turns because I really just didn't want to touch any one of the units, especially with my chariots. So I just chipped away, also used before the wave to throw some javelins with my remaining warrior units and just kind of tried to kind of get through a few hits through that way. In the end, I think the last round you actually played for me, Hamza, because I had to finish up the administration and scoring. But and then you just YOLO'd with my chariots, didn't you, into one of his depleted units?
Yeah, I just destroyed everything, but not everything, but the chariots did a lot of damage, and he had like a combat where he went in, didn't do much because you had some defensive Gaulish ability that could like stop a casualty or something. I don't remember. It was the Gauls were pretty good.
Yeah.
Because when I took over,
I like to take credit.
When I took over, he was winning, I think.
Oh, is that so, Hamza?
Yeah. I saved you.
All right.
You're nothing without me, Jason.
Yeah, thanks for stepping in. But it was a super fun game.
The Saint, Hamza the Saint.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was a super fun game. Kev was actually, he said he listened to the podcast. So hi, Kev.
That was so cool. He was like, are you guys the ones from the podcast? I thought they were like American. We were like, no, it's us. Hello. Yeah, that was cool.
Yep. So super fun game. Really impressed with the Greek cities. Definitely got me looking at maybe building a warband. But
ooh.
I know. All right. The score so far was, I think for me, it was one loss, one win, even though Hamza kind of pulled me through that one. For you, Tim, it was two wins, right?
Yeah.
Hamza?
Two losses. Boo.
Boo. A little bit of everything there. So the last round, we went through to robbing and ransacking. So that's the feasting and pillaging, slightly modified. So Tim, do you want to walk us through your game?
Yeah, sure. I think since I won two games, I kind of ended up being on the final table. I had killed two warlords before, and so that looked pretty good for me points wise. And I ended up playing Timo, another one of the German dudes. So there was three German dudes in total there, and yeah, Timo was one of them, and the other one came with me. So nice. I really enjoyed playing Timo. I had played him in many tournament games before, and it's always fun. And yeah, he had Carthage again, so that was okay. His list was very different, much more shooting oriented, as we know from him. His famous Irish build only shoots, his famous Crusader build only shoots, and also his his Carthage build basically only shot. Everyone can shoot, bear the
wall. But doesn't he also play like Jomsvikings or something? They don't shoot, right?
I mean, he played Jomsviking in the beginning, I think, and
he was like, what is this? They don't shoot.
Yeah, they only shoot if he discovered
the true power of shooting.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so that was okay.
What was his army though?
So he had a point of the Samnites, mm-hmm. so the ones that can charge for free via fatigue, right? That's the Samnites. Yeah,
they have determination also.
Yeah, exactly. Those ones. He had a point of elephant, mm-hmm. and then he had, I think he had a point of levy. Yeah, and then the rest were warriors. So, like four small warrior squads with the Numidian horses running around. Mm-hmm. The elephant being the one citizen point unit that you have to have. Mm-hmm. But they can still shoot, so And so I ended up deploying only on one half of the board because I thought I can never catch these horses, so why the heck should I try? There was a swamp in the middle, so I thought he's never gonna grab that one with his elephant or whatever. Like, yeah, it's not gonna happen anytime soon. So I decided to focus on one side of the board, and the game went quite okay. At some point he shot with six shots, or like, I don't know, eight shots. He took out three of my Hearthguard, which was a big blow, and that kind of that was a big problem with killing. Their Hearthguard are really good in the Greek successor list because they shoot a lot. I easily shoot out like 10, 11 shots with their Sarissas, and then their attack is also super good. So that was a little bit devastating. But it's okay. The whole game, his delay was ready to stop me doing nasty stuff. So I always had to look out to have to never be with a, to have a fatigue at the beginning of my turn, which is doable with the Greeks. And so we ended up fighting over two of the objectives, and he just kept on sending his Numidian horses in to shoot and then to charge, and he did lots of damage and kind of depleted my warband with shooting and shooting again and taking 15 fatigues per turn, but kept on shooting, and he played it super well, of course, as he always does. And I think he managed to snag a victory with like 3 points or something like that, and which was unfortunate, of course, but yeah, I think he had 4 points and 3 points was a draw or something like that, and it was a really fun game. He shot me to death as he always does, and I would totally play him again. He's super chill. The game was good. Carthaginians are definitely up there with the with all the Alexander factions. I don't see a problem with them at all. Delay, no. Super strong. And,
yeah, it's really good. I think especially the new, like, when you can wipe out, like, if you wipe out a unit in melee and you spread the fatigue around.
Yeah.
If the Carthaginians do that on you, you're in big. You're in the, yeah, it's the pain train.
Yeah, it is. Choo-choo! Yeah, all aboard. It is. It really is. How did your game go, Hamza?
Well, I played, I was basically the last person in the tournament now, and then you play, like, people who are not, like, serious with Saga, they don't care, so I played JP. and his goals. I don't know what to say about that game. We faced off. I took the objectives pretty quickly with Queen Kunks, the ability where I can move up units.
Yeah,
And this time I had put there was like a big steep hill on JP's side, and I managed to move my Samnites into that. So they were basically going around there and not being attacked so much. That was good. And then, we were going around. You had to like do a lot of admin stuff. So, I mean, I had a huge advantage in being like able to focus on the game. So, I think it will, it went good for me, so I won that one.
Yeah, I think kind of the takeaways there was, like the hill was such a pain with the chariots. I think I should have taken my cavalry. Also applying the movement rules with the chariots and like the facings and stuff like that became really, really painful because
a lot of terrain. Yeah,
yeah, you had to put the swamp in the middle. Due to the scenario, and then with the big hill to the side, it really constrained what my chariots could actually do. That's a definite disadvantage. And it was a lot of fun. I think we both didn't take it super seriously because we were on the.
I did take it seriously. I needed a win, otherwise I'm not gonna fly over from Sweden to lose every fucking game.
All right. Well.
Yeah.
Anyway, from my side, it was like I gave it my best, but I wasn't really.
He's saying that because he lost. Otherwise, he would be like, "Yeah."
Sure. But it was a super fun game. It was actually the first time we played against each other, so that was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just chatting shit, and that was good. I think actually, I don't think I've told anyone here in the tournament, but I actually made it so that nobody from clubs were paired up for the first three games, and then I kind of
that's good.
I took it off for the last round because it kind of makes sense to do it.
That's the way.
Like nobody complained about it, and I think most people were happy not to drive for. 3 hours or 2 hours, and then to play like two games against our clubmates. So, especially because there were quite a few guys from Ghent in Belgium, from Brussels, a couple of the Dutch guys from North Holland, and then a few Germans who tend to play a lot of the same tournaments anyway. So, I think we managed to get a lot of a kind of like mixture between the groups. So, I'm pretty happy about that, and I don't.
That was perfect, yeah.
And I don't, to be honest, like looking at the ranking, I don't think it changed anything. I was like the people in the top 10. I was kind of expecting to see in the top 10, so I don't think it really messes around with the kind of like where people end up, and it just makes it so much more fun for everyone.
Yeah, for the Osnabrück tournament, for the whole day, the first day, three games, I will block teams to play each other, because like you're not flying to Germany to play your teammates, so that's like shit. So yeah.
Yeah, I will be joining Timo's team. I don't think this would be an announcement.
me
be applying to join his club. He'd be like, oh,
I will also join Timo's team.
Let's all join X-Wing.
X-Wings.
Yeah.
We all love X-Wing, don't we? Sure.
Yeah. It's cool.
So cool.
Yeah. We love playing X-Wing, guys. Anyway, so should we go to the results? I guess we're kind of at that stage. So Timo crushed my second tournament. This is actually the second tournament he's won. So he ended up with a perfect score. I think he won three games, and he killed three warlords. So he's on top of the tables, and he was the only one as well. So going down, it's Alex from Ghent, who also came in second during the Benelux Grand Melee. And Jan de Neve, also from Ghent, and number four, Kurt, also from Ghent. So these guys are kind of crushing it as well. They travel a lot. I think they came pretty high in the French Grand Melee end of last year as well. So these guys are pretty serious about their saga. And then in fifth place, Tim. He got pretty close, but not quite. And then
it was perfect.
Yeah, and then your clubmate Simon.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He learned saga from me like 3 months ago, and he won the the German Grand Melee, and he's doing really, really, really well. So good on him.
What? Like, wait. So he started to play like last year.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Wow, he's really good for playing. Not playing so long. I mean, he was really good in my game.
Yeah, he is really, really good. I can't manage to beat him. And like he picks good armies. He knows his playstyle. He's very methodical about everything. He's not annoying at all to play. I think he's he's very chill with everything. Like if it's not clear, you can decide whatever. And so he's just a nice guy. Don't tell him, but he's a nice guy.
Yeah. And then I'm going down all the way to seventh to get the first Dutch guy. So Hrothgar, my clubmate. So he came in seventh with the Carthaginians, and Arnout, also from my club, Murphy's Heroes. He came in with the Achaemenid Persians. I'm going to take credit for Arnout because I brought him into saga. So
let's go.
And then Pierre, a nine with his Spartans, and then Alberto, the guy from Eindhoven who helped me out with a new guy in 10 with Iberian. It says Iberians, but I think he took something else.
Cheetah.
No, it's purely because somebody dropped out, and I did not have time to change things in the morning. And to be honest, like once the tournament's going, like I don't care what you're playing, you're just going to be assigned to a table anyway.
But we had to write like army lists for you, so it wasn't like you were just. At all. There was some carrying around.
In the morning, there was a case made that we need to write down our stuff, and we gave our official lists to you to make that so that you could make sure we're not cheating.
Yeah. And I don't think anyone cheated, so that's fine.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Generally, it's okay to count till six. So good job, guys. I'm glad everyone managed to pass that hurdle. And then Hamza, you came in 14th, so good job. I think we should have given like the most travel trophy or something.
Most traveled and most losses per kilometer traveled. Maybe.
Least wins per kilometer.
yeah, that's me.
All right. But
hi.
It's fine. It was. I like to think of it more of as like a social visit, so that's fine. And then we had Laurent in last place, so he did get a voucher for a Tabletopper, who graciously sponsored us. So Tabletopper.nl is a local web shop, and they do all action, lots of saga stuff. And unfortunately, the owner is a saga player, but he could not turn up, so that sucks because I haven't actually met him in person. But like he did send us some vouchers for the first three and then the last place. So that was pretty cool. So yeah, that was the end of that. We cleaned up and got kicked out of the kind of the convention hall. Round.
It was a nice convention as well, by the way. I think the whole thing looked super nice. I went around when the one game ended up quickly. I went around and they played like a million games there, and it was really fun.
Yeah, so it was basically. But what
was the deal? Was it like some kind of board gaming convention?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah, it's the Duco Sim convention, and they were just board games.
Yeah, they do it 3 times a year, and then essentially the reason that we decided to hold a tournament there is that you don't like all the entry fee basically just goes to the convention itself. Like we have no money whatsoever for prize support, so that's why we are pretty grateful to our sponsor. Tabletopper.nl. but it was really good. Like they just provide us with some tables and it's pretty easy because like one of the main things when you're running a tournament is to secure a venue and pay for it. This kind of takes off or makes that a lot easier. So pretty happy about it. And it's relatively central in Amersfoort. It's just outside of Utrecht. So it's how long of a drive is it for you, Tim? 2 hours or so?
Yeah, 2:15.
2 hours. I think it's it's like an hour and a half from Essen. I think from Brussels, it's probably like 2.5 hours. So it's pretty reasonable for quite a few million people.
Yeah, it's really cool. So, and a small shout out to you, a big shout out. I really enjoyed the, like half of the terrain you had was like 2D and the other half was 3D. I think that was perfect. Because like the players that came there to really learn the game, they really enjoyed using the 3D stuff. And then the players that kind of tried to go for the top spots, they could just use the 2D stuff. And I think that was perfect. It was, everyone could enjoy what they liked most. So that was great.
Yeah, it was also, we just asked some extra people to bring terrain as well. Because like I have a lot of terrain, but not enough for 24 players. But so that went pretty well. And then probably one thing that I'm going to do for next time is Netherlands has some pretty strict parking enforcement.
yeah.
So I think you're actually, it's like, I think this is the second time a German guy gets caught out at one of my tournaments. For parking illegally, and the fines are pretty hefty. So I think I need to make it a little bit clearer in the.
The fines are insanely high.
Just quickly, for parking wrong in Germany, you get like $15. I'm paying $115 for this parking violation, and also, like, I documented everything, and I'm gonna go to court with this. I don't see me being in the fault.
One thing, like your trip was more expensive than mine.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. Sounds cool. Yeah. Good on you, Hamza. Yeah,
it was me who pushed your car into the
No, I parked in the wrong spot. It's obviously my fault. Nothing to do but, there. So,
but are you gonna press charge? I mean, you have admitted right now that you did the wrong mistake.
No, yeah.
Maybe you want to edit this one out.
No. I sent them an email saying like I didn't speak the language, and I added some pictures showing that the other cars near me, I ratted them out that they didn't have a permit either. So it should be fine, maybe.
You're a piece of shit.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see about that.
Oh my god!
All right.
I blurred the number plates though, of course.
All right. So if you come to the Netherlands, park in a parking lot, because pretty much everywhere else
pay for your parking.
Yeah, well, otherwise it's going to be pretty expensive. Just not to scare anyone off, there's actually a like a multi-story parking lot 5 meters from the entrance.
And it wasn't which would
cost you a whole €15 for the entire day. So
yeah, that would have been cool.
Yeah, we actually put that in the pack, but anyway.
Yeah, you did.
Maybe
you
we'll did. Put Can't it like. Up front, like before the FAQ, like before the age of whatever we're playing.
just write it in German, to be honest. I think it's mostly a German problem. So just
just write everything in German. Everybody should speak German.
Right.
So what do we think about? Do we want to talk about the tournament, or want to talk about like Hannibal and Alexander, like how the books feel?
Yeah,
give us your hot take, man.
I think like. Age of Alexander feels a little stronger than Hannibal. I think maybe like the Iberians, the Gauls, and the Carthaginians can compete, but the other guys, the Romans, the Numidians, and the Greek Griculi, they're a bit in the they're a little behind. I think they're not as good as the others. I felt like the especially like the shooting in some of the Age of Alexander warbands is insane. Like the Persians and the Indians can really put down like lots and lots of shots. And I think the successors as well, but they were like more short range. And like the Romans, for example, they have like one shooting defense, and I don't think that's enough to compete.
I think that's fair. The Romans really excelled at being like the small, tough elitist units that get buffed by the abilities and kind of win at every melee if they can defend it. And the Greek cities just do that better now. So I think that's an unfortunate place to be in. Like,
like that play style.
The Greek cities flat out do it better. So that's a little bit tough. And for the Numidians being fast and everything, that's still viable, and I think they might be better these now with all these elephants running around. But to be honest, I think they're still not good enough. So it's a tough one. Tough one.
Yeah, what I think the Greek city states were ended up being probably the most popular army that turned up.
If we look at the results, like I think like top 10 is only, it's two Carthaginians and then one Iberian, and the rest is just Age of Alexander.
Oh, you're right. It's five Greek city-states, yeah.
Yeah. So I think my question is more, how do you get around the Greek city-states? What's the killer there? I think partially it's the choice of scenarios that we just didn't realize the rules. We're going to be this kind of in favor of them, but I'm interested to see if, like, what is the Greek city-state killer?
It's so easy to answer. It's just terrain. Like, all of their abilities stop working once they touch terrain. Their best units to touch terrain are the horses, and I think that says a lot, because they don't use the ability to use the battle board once they touch terrain, and the other guys do. Terrain fucks them up big time, and there's nothing they can do about it. If they charge in there, all the abilities they want to use have to be played before, because once they're in there, that they don't count as being phalanx anymore. And so, like, seven out of their abilities from the board don't work. So yeah, that's the way.
Yeah, basically, I think like the Thoracitae are also really strong,
like, especially on the Greek cities. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, it gets crazy. I mean, you basically can't attack them in combat. I mean, nothing's gonna happen. That's a bit too much, I think.
And it's also not like you need to attack them twice and then their bonus is gone. It's like every time you attack them, nothing's gonna happen. And just to spell that out here, they're that strong because they count as phalanx, and so when they run around with the other phalanx units, they form a line of battle, and then all of your units in a line of battle can be activated through any die facing, and that means that your mercenaries basically move for free. And through an advanced battle board ability, you can make one of these moves bigger and with no fatigue, and that also works for the mercenaries, of course, because the activation that does activate the mercenaries is a basic activation at the top of your battle board. So it's insane. I don't think there's a synergy that good with any other warband and any other mercenary. So they're like an auto take, but that's just by design. Like, you can't blame the Greek city players.
No, of course not.
Yeah. So yeah, they're really good.
Yeah. No, I think the Gauls still can definitely compete. I think the shooting potential of the Gauls is also really good. And on the way back, I was actually talking about increasing the number of chariots I had just to max out on the javelins, just mixing that with Gaulish Fury. So that's an ability where you basically gain some attack dice, but then you also can lose, or your opponent loses all benefits of solid cover. So with the new rules, basically means they also lose the 4+, and then you get the +1 on the attack dice.
For javelins.
Yeah, for javelins as well. So that's pretty brutal. But it does mean that your guys are going to be completely exhausted at the end of it. But if you have more units, it's fine. So, but I think they can definitely compete. It's just like you have to mix up your playstyle a little bit.
And them the gods being able to break closing ranks might be one of the only ways to really annoy the Greek city players into, like, because your chariots will be in open terrain and they will be in open terrain, and therefore the gods might be one of the better factions to take on the Greek cities, I think.
Yeah.
All right. I think we pretty much covered everything.
Yeah, let's maybe hear because we have him now, JP. I think we should ask him, Hamza. Yes. I know you don't have crazy hot takes, not like boiling takes on the FAQ, but do you like it? Is it going good? Do you wish it was different?
I mostly like it. I really like the changes to the terrain, so you have to be fully in. Because it was looking a bit stupid sometimes, like the end of the base was touching, and there's like where Levy is shooting outside. It looks stupid. This new rule is good. I also like the, like, when a unit is wiped out, it spreads around fatigue across the, like, across the, how do you say, you don't wait for the last model anymore.
Yeah, you draw a line from every model, like when the whole unit dies. Yeah.
However, there is a controversial rule about the bonus attack dice, and normally I've gone online and saying, well, it doesn't matter, everybody who hates it is stupid. But today I played some Saga Age of Magic. I had some spells and stuff, and I was expecting my warlord to have 3 bonus dice, but he didn't get those. And it was annoying, and my opponent played like the chariot for the horde, and that was also like really, like, he couldn't get the dice it needed to be like really good. So his chariot was like wiped out easily, didn't do damage. He was upset, I was upset. So we think like the presence should count as more models for the bonus attack dice.
I wouldn't mind that. I think that would be fine.
Yeah, because there's like a lot. I mean, if you look at like the campaign, because we're playing like the campaign rules in the Book of Battles, like where you can level up your warlord. And there are like abilities that are like your warlord gets 2 bonus attack dice. That's one of the experience stuff you can get. And now like, oh, it's just like 1. We didn't like it. And we thought about just ignoring that rule when we play in our group or something.
No, yeah, fair enough. I think if an ability specifically names your warlord to give them bonus attack dice, I think it's fair to say that that supersedes the rulebook. But if an ability allows all of your units to like get the bonus dice, then and you choose your warlord, then that's your bet. Like he can only get one. Yeah. But yeah, that's the current state, I think.
And but then there's also like some things in the FAQ that I don't understand, and I don't want to ask anybody because I'll just get more confused. And one of that is the new like plus the limits to like the dice, like does a 6 count as a 5? I don't know, and I don't want to understand. I don't care.
Fair enough. Yeah.
It's like, what does it even mean? It's like a block of text. Like, what does this mean? Like, we have to check like after or before motive. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, fair enough. I think I also don't want to comment on that. That's kind of a tough thing to see that. I don't know. The way to be played is to be found.
It's like to be continued.
Yeah.
That's basically it. There are some other changes, but I can't remember what those are.
The movement one is really great, I think. You never have to
Which
be
one?
Like, the one where you pick any model and draw like a short around them.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it just makes it way more chill. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so those are my not hot takes.
Yeah, they're kind of cold, to be honest.
Yeah.
Which is fine, yeah. All right. I think, JP, do you have anything else? I think that wraps up the episode, right?
It does. Thank you very much for joining us, Hamza. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Hamza.
To have you on. I think it's like official now, friend of the show, Hamza.
Yeah, he's quite all right. I think he's an okay guy. All
right, good. All right. Thank you also for listening, and catch everyone soon.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right.